It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host for the program today. This week, we are in a verse-by-verse teaching of the book of James. It began by telling us in the first chapter to count it all joy when we face many trials, because the testing of our faith works perseverance. I think so many times we find it difficult to count it joy when we're struggling and when we're going through trials or persecution. But James tells us God has a plan behind the pain. God has a plan behind the trial. He told us then, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. You see the difference in religion and righteousness. Religion speaks of it, but righteousness does it. Righteousness is a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. He then taught us in the second chapter to not show favoritism, that we shouldn't show special attention to the rich or the notable person, but we need to keep the royal law of Scripture, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Then James taught us about faith and deeds. It's not good enough to have faith with no deeds, because that kind of faith won't save you. James taught us that only a foolish man has what he calls faith and then doesn't put it into action. He taught us about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness, and then he was called a friend of God. Last week, we dealt with the third chapter of the book of James, where James taught us about taming the tongue. The tongue is that one member of the body that is so unruly, and it's only the Spirit of God that can tame our tongue. He taught us about the two kinds of wisdom, the wisdom that comes from heaven, which is pure and peace-loving, submissive, considerate, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, and it makes us a peacemaker. But the wisdom from the earth often will deny the wisdom of God. That wisdom is not from above. That wisdom is not from God. It's full of envy and self-ambition. And James says you find disorder in every evil practice. So we need to seek the wisdom of God. It produces peace in our life. And now today we come to the fourth chapter of the book of James. I'm going to pick up with verse 13. James says this, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." James is talking here about the danger of boasting. As believers in Christ, we are not to boast in our great abilities or the plans or what we're going to do. James tells us why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Boy, over the last 40 years of pastoring, I have buried so many people, many of them younger than myself. And I realize that life is short. There is a brevity of life that is shocking at times. We're like a mist that appears for just a little while, and then it vanishes. He tells us in verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, I believe there's nothing wrong with planning. As a matter of fact, if you don't plan, you probably will fail. We need to make plans. We need to do that. But what we need to do is submit our plans to the will of God. James said, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. See, so many times we want to put our will above God's will. But God wants us to submit our plans to God. And he will sort it out for us in our heart and let us know if it's God's will. We have the peace to follow through with what God wants us to do. Now, James says in verse 16, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Have you ever known someone who spends a great deal of time boasting? Usually it's because inside that person is really insecure. They're struggling with their own self-worth or our boasting should only be in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast in the Lord. And in verse 17, he says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now, this is the sin of omission. You see, we usually think of sin as something we commit. It's a wrong that we do. James is saying here, there's times when you sin because of something you don't do. Whenever we know to do good and we don't do it, God says that is a sin. The book of James is really dealing with where the rubber hits the road. It really brings the Christian life back down to a very practical application. Now today, let's look at verse 5. We're going to finish up with the last chapter of the book of James. James gives a warning here to the rich oppressors. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5 in the book of James. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. In verse 2, he says, your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Now, I don't believe James is telling us here it is wrong to have money. I believe he's telling us it's wrong to trust in our wealth. It's wrong to hoard and just put our trust in our finances and in our silver and in our gold. And he's saying, their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. See, there were so many people in James's day that could be helping those who were suffering and the church was really going through difficult times, but they chose to hoard their wealth instead of submitting it to God and recognizing that everything we own really belongs to God. I believe this can speak to all of us today. Where your treasure is, the Bible says, your heart is. He said in verse 4, look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You can see as James is writing this, he's speaking here of people that became wealthy because they robbed others. They became wealthy because they failed to pay their workers. He said, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. James is talking here not just to rich people, but rich oppressors, those who had really abused the poor, those who had taken advantage of those who had worked in their fields. And James is telling them, you've condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. I love how Peterson puts this in the message. He says, and a final word to you arrogant rich, take some lessons in lament. You'll need buckets for the tears when the crash comes upon you. Your money is corrupt and your fine clothes stink. Your greedy luxuries are a cancer in your gut, destroying your life from within. You thought you were piling up wealth. What you've piled up is judgment. Now, I thank God that God blesses us financially, and as Christians, Paul taught us that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God meets all of my needs, but listen, friend, don't trust in this world's wealth. It's okay to have money, but it's not okay for money to have you. Now, let's pick up in verse 7 as James is concluding this chapter now. He says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. I have some farmers in my church and they have great patience, but I want you to know something, friend. I would not make a good farmer. I planted a garden one time. It was one of the worst experiences of my life. I think I was out there the next day looking for some results to all that hard work, and all that would come up was weeds. Great patience has the farmer. He says in verse 8, you too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Now you hear me say very often, I believe we're living in the last days. I believe Jesus is coming soon. You might say, well, Keith, they've been saying that for thousands of years. Well, we are now thousands of years closer to the return of Jesus Christ. He says, you too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. You know, Satan wants to make us think that people are our enemies, but they're not, friend. It's the devil that's your enemy. It's the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says in verse 10, brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, James gives us an Old Testament example here of Job, the prophet Job. And we all know that Job suffered more than anyone should ever have to go through. And yet he was patient in waiting for the Lord. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be his holy name. Job persevered even though everything was against him, and God finally brought about his deliverance because the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Then he says in verse 12, above all my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. So he tells us here, don't swear, not by heaven or by earth. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. I believe God wants you and I to be people of our word. When we give someone our word, they should be able to count on that. That should be a binding contract from our heart that we do what we say we're going to do. Now, perhaps you've been listening to this message today and you think, Pastor Keith, do you have something against rich people? No, not at all. But I want you to know, we need to make sure we're not trusting in our riches, friend. Do you know in Lima, Peru, they have a place called the Wall of Shame? And it's a concrete barrier that literally separates the rich from the poor. The rich people built this to keep away the element of society that they didn't want to be around. They separate themselves from crime and the multitudes that were living in squalor. But that wall exists as a divide among the people. God never intended for us to be that way. As believers, when we see someone in need, when we see someone who needs food or clothing or shelter, we're supposed to reach out to them. Show them the love of Christ. We need to realize that God has blessed us so that we in turn could be a blessing to others. Now, tomorrow on Fresh Oil, I'm going to conclude our teaching on the book of James that we've been in all week, and we're going to talk about the prayer of faith. I love this last part of James 5, and he's going to tell us, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. We're going to deal with this tomorrow on the Friday edition of Fresh Oil. Thank you for joining me today for the program. I've so enjoyed this verse-by-verse teaching. And go by my website at wenedgod.com and send me an email. It's real simple. It's just keithmanley@me.com. And I'd love to hear from you this week. Tell me what radio station you listen on, and that would be a blessing to us. Walk in grace. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.